Good evening. You turn into your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be reading there in just a moment. I'd like to ask you a question. And that is, are you going to invite somebody to the gospel meeting? Have you thought about who you would invite? Do you have a specific person in mind, or you think, you know what, I'll just put it up on Facebook. That'll work. Now, there's, for me, that's something that I've struggled with in the past a lot. I've thought, I'll leave it to somebody. Somebody will be able to do it. Somebody will invite somebody else. And oftentimes it ends up being, and not that it's bad, but it ends up being where different congregations come to visit. But we can't lose sight that the biggest reason why we have a gospel meeting is to bring new converts in, is to have people converted and to be saved. That's the biggest reason, more than anything else, because, I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have the responsibilities that we have. Now, gospel meetings are many things. It's a great time to learn. It's a great place to learn. It's enjoyable to see other brethren around and be able to see brethren from around the area, especially here in the Metroplex. Lived in other places not so close as far as the Metroplex with a lot of congregations. And so it's nice to see a bunch of different brethren here. But it's an opportunity more than anything else to talk to people about Christ, to talk to people about God, to present to them the truth. And there's so much out there that's not true. And it's an opportunity to present to them the truth. Now, are we taking the opportunity? Are we really using it there? This is a chance to give an invitation to somebody, and they may completely reject it at that time. Or say, hey, what's this about? And boom, there's your chance. There's your opportunity to talk to them. Now, I've gotten mine. I know who I would like to invite. And I've thought about this. As soon as the gospel, as I kind of thought about it, as the gospel meeting was coming up, I need to invite these people. I need to invite somebody. Yeah, but I need to specifically go to them, give them the card, hey, this is what we're having. And they may come, and they may not. You know? And I think sometimes we worry, well, this person won't want to come anyway, so I'm not going to give it to them. Who are we to say that? You know, sometimes that's what's kept me from doing it, to be honest. You know, maybe the fact of, or the idea of going to a gospel meeting is kind of an old thing, kind of an antiquated thing. Some people might think of it as a waste of time. But it shouldn't keep us from asking. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians there. We should already be there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. I want you to consider the words here. It says in verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." So we worry that maybe they won't accept your invitation. It's not up to you. It really isn't. It's up to that person. Your job is to go out and invite that person. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the sower. We discussed this today during the adult class, and it comes up often, and as it should, because it presents a good lesson for those around us. So the parable of the sower, chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered around him. And so here, Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, and he talks about the different soils. One that where the seed fell on rocky ground, or fell by the wayside. One where it fell on rocky ground there, where it was small soil, where it's kind of sprouted up and then died. One where the seed fell, where there was thorns, there was weeds. And one where it finally fell on good soil. Now, if we consider it, Luke 8:11 says the seed is the word of God. But who is the sower? Ultimately, obviously, we can say God. I mean, that's a fairly safe answer at any time, right? But who's the one going out to plant the seed, to spread the seed out? It's got to be us. Where else is it going to happen? Now, how does it grow? That's the big thing, that where we can really take the weight off of our shoulders. And how does it grow? God gives the increase. We see that in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. God gives the increase. We may help to plant, but God gives the increase. But the other part of this parable is the heart of the person. Are they going to be willing to accept it, to listen to it, to hear it, and take it? Or are they going to be shut off and let that seed just fall on dry ground and let it be scooped up? That's not your heart. That's the person you're asking. Your job is to go out and sow the seed. Now, are we going to do that? That's the big question. And I challenge you to do that as we have this our gospel meeting coming up. I love one last verse here in chapter 13, there in Matthew, in verse 9. Probably one of my favorite verses here. It says, "He who has ears, let him hear." In other words, it's up to the listener. Are you going to be able to listen to this and hear it? Or are you just going to kind of hear it and let it go in one ear and out the other? And that really falls on the listener there. But you, brethren, me, let's be courageous enough to say, hey, we're having this gospel meeting. Come here. You might find something that you haven't heard anywhere before. You might find what you've been looking for. You might find that here you have salvation. Now, I know this is an invitation for those here, but we would be amiss if we didn't have an invitation here. So if there are any in this number that need to name the name of Christ and believe now, that have heard, come forward now. The water's ready. Today is the day of salvation. Or if there's others that have any need, whether it's a confession of sin, maybe a prayer for encouragement, come forward now as we stand and sing.